1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 17. Basic themes: keeping God's commands, living like Yeshua, loving like Yeshua, the characteristics of true believers, loving God, not the world. John wrote this letter to followers of Messiah to encourage them to have fellowship, which is a sharing of values and a sharing of life with God the Father and God the Son, to encourage them to also have fellowship with the true spiritual leaders, like John, and to warn them from following the antichrists, the anti-messiahs, the false teachers, the false prophets, the false messiahs who oppose the true Messiah. It's easy to learn the basic teachings of the faith, go to church, or in our case, go to a synagogue or temple or shul or whatever we are, and say, I am a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm a Messianic Jew. I know God. I have fellowship with God. I love God. Easy to say that. Talk is cheap. But to really have fellowship with God, more than talk is needed. John wanted us to know that obedience is needed. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. The reality is that the world hates God. The world is in rebellion against God. The world is at war with God. The world is disobedient to God. People are not in fellowship with God, not united to God, not in union with God, have no communion with God. They do not love God. To experience real fellowship with God, a real sharing of life and values, to really love God, we must end our rebellion against him. We must turn from disobedience to obedience. We must be committed to obey his word and keep his commands. What commands? Some people, particularly those who are involved in the Messianic Jewish movement, are confused about this. It's not the commands of the Sinai Covenant, aka Old Testament. Rather, it is the commands of the Messiah, also known as the teachings of the New Covenant, the New Testament. Commands like, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Love your neighbor. Forgive 70 times 7. Be holy. Boldly proclaim the gospel, the message about the Messiah, to everyone you can. What the Lord whispers in your ear, shout from the top of your house. Love and serve your brothers and sisters. Do something to build up Messiah's community. Those are the commands of the New Covenant. When a person keeps these commands, he has real fellowship, real sharing of life with God himself, real communion with God. He has real love for God. We do not want to be liars devoid of the truth, claiming to know and love God, while we are disobedient and not doing what he commands. Yes? How can we know we have real fellowship with God? John told us. We are to live like Yeshua lived. This is how we know we are in him, united to him, part of him, joined to him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Yeshua lived. Living like Yeshua lived doesn't mean we need to wear sandals like he did, wear the same kind of Middle Eastern clothes that he did, or keep all the laws of the Sinai covenant like he did. Yeshua's followers live under his new covenant, not the broken Sinai covenant. Therefore, living like Yeshua lived means being like Yeshua, being full of love and grace and mercy and truth, like Yeshua was full of love and grace and mercy and truth. Being holy like Yeshua was holy. Being obedient to God like Yeshua was obedient. Focusing on proclaiming the gospel like Yeshua focused on proclaiming the gospel. If we are truly living like Yeshua lived, then we really know God, truly love God, genuinely are united to God, and have fellowship with God. Easy to say, I'm a believer. I know God. I have fellowship with God. I love God. I'm a Christian. I'm a Messianic Jew. I'm saved. I'm headed to heaven. Easy to say. Talk is cheap. But to have fellowship with God, a real sharing of life with God, more than talk is needed. Obedience is needed. Living like Yeshua is needed. Love for our brothers and sisters in particular is required. Dear friends, John wrote, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him, referring to Yeshua, and in you. Because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Human beings, because they are made in the image of God, are incredibly precious and are to be loved, not for anything they do, but simply because of who they are. The command for us to love one another is an old command, John told us. It's been around since the beginning. The command to love people is as old as Adam and Eve, who loved each other. The command to love people is as old as the command to be our brother's keeper. But in another sense, the command to love, especially our brothers and sisters, is a new command. Because the command to love is seen most clearly and in a powerful new way in Yeshua. Yeshua's life adds a whole new dimension to the command to love one another. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you. Yeshua loved human beings. Imperfect human beings, sinful human beings, with caring love, gracious love, forgiving love, sacrificial love. With the arrival of the Son of God, love has been seen in a whole new light. Love has been seen in a powerful new way. With the life and the death of Yeshua, love for God and love for people, especially for the followers of Yeshua, has assumed a whole new importance. John added the truth that love was seen not just in Yeshua, but also in them. Just as love characterized the life of Messiah, love characterized the lives of the early Christians and the early Messianic Jews. They were known for being a united community that loved one another. That's what we want to be like. The world is in darkness. Darkness represents rebellion against God, sin, hatred, death. Light represents God's presence, truth, salvation, life. Yeshua is the true light who has already appeared and is already shining. He has revealed that a life of love for God and love for God's people is what God wants for humanity. John wrote, "Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining." With the arrival of the true light, and with the salvation of more and more people who love God and love other people, we can see, we can know that the darkness is passing. The end is in sight. Victory is right up ahead. How encouraging. So, if we are saved by Yeshua, the true light that is already shining, we will shine like him. We will love like he did. If we don't, if we hate others, especially our fellow Christians and Messianic Jews, we do not have fellowship with God in spite of what we say. Talk is cheap. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. We must love our brothers and sisters even if we don't particularly like them. And I can guarantee that you will not like all of your brothers and sisters. We must love our brothers and sisters even if they have hurt us. And I can pretty much guarantee that some of your brothers and sisters will hurt you. How can we love people who we dislike and who hurt us? We remember that we too have sinned against God and continue to sin against God. Yet he has forgiven us our many sins and the sins of our brothers and sisters who have sinned against us are less than our sins against God. And therefore, it is our duty as those who have been forgiven to forgive others. Right? We know this. And we can love people that we don't particularly like and who have hurt us because we are to look at people like God looks at them. That they are made in his image and therefore are inherently precious. But also because of the fall of man, every human being is damaged, very damaged. So we look at precious, damaged people like God looks at precious, damaged people. with a redemptive perspective, that they can be saved, redeemed, transformed, become like Yeshua, live forever as the glorious sons and daughters of God. We look at people like God looks at people, as works in process. When we have that perspective, we are able to respond to precious, damaged people with love, a patient kind of love. When they do or say something foolish or mean or hurtful or selfish or wrong, before we respond, we consider not our hurt feelings, not our anger, and then respond out of our hurt or anger, which will never be the right response. But we pause and consider what is the best thing to say or do to help them so that they will not continue being foolish, mean, hurtful, selfish, wrong. This is how we can dislike someone and yet love that person. This is how we can be hurt but not respond by hurting back. This is how we can love our brothers and sisters who are imperfect, damaged creatures who will occasionally hurt us. John wrote to believers to encourage them to have fellowship with their true spiritual leaders like John, and to encourage them to continue in the fellowship of the Father and the Son. There is God, and there is the God of this world, Satan. There are true spiritual leaders, and there are false spiritual leaders. There are true believers, and there are false believers. What characterizes true believers? John told us, "I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." John is writing to true believers. True believers know God. I am writing to you because you know him. They know him as he really is. Father, Son, Spirit. They know him in a personal, intimate, relational way. Their sins are forgiven. They know their sins are forgiven. They are grateful their sins are forgiven. They rejoice that their sins are forgiven. They have overcome the evil one, Satan, the devil, the leader of the fallen angels, the god of this world. He no longer controls them. They no longer do his bidding. They are no longer under his authority. They no longer share his values. They no longer act like him. They have overcome the evil one. The word of God lives in them. They understand it. They appreciate it. They treasure it. They live it. This is what characterizes true believers. Most people are the opposite. They do not know God as he is. They do not know him in a personal, relational way. Their sins are not forgiven. They have not overcome the evil one. The word of God does not live in them. How about you? Are you a true believer? Remember, talk is cheap. Are you the real thing? Do you know God as he truly is? Do you know him in a relational way? Do you have a close personal relationship with the living God? Have you confessed your sins and turned away from them, and with God's grace on a daily basis are trying to not continue in your sins? Do you know that your sins are forgiven and are grateful and rejoice that they are forgiven? Have you overcome the evil one so that you are not doing the kind of evil things he delights in? Is the word of God alive in you so that you understand it, appreciate it, treasure it, and are living it? True believers. True believers love God, not the world. John continued, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. True believers love God, not the world. When John commanded us not to love the world or anything in the world, he did not mean do not love our beautiful planet and the things in it, like the people and animals and plants and trees and rivers and lakes and seas. Do not love the world means do not love this corrupt system in which we live with its corrupt values. John elaborated on what he meant by not loving the world or anything in the world. The anything in the world includes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This characterizes the world. The lust of the flesh. There are legitimate pleasures of the flesh. Intimacy between a married man and a married woman. And they have to be married to each other, not just a married man and a married woman. Eating good food, drinking good wine, beer, other adult beverages, enjoying art, music, dance, sports, other wholesome entertainments. These are legitimate good pleasures. But these pleasures need to be done in moderation, not in excess, and pursued within God-ordained boundaries, like sex being reserved for marriage between one man and one woman. God wants us to enjoy legitimate pleasures, which he has given us to enjoy, but enjoy them in the way he intended. The world ignores that. And we don't want to live merely to fulfill our appetites or put our pleasures before serving God. That too is the lust of the flesh, living only for pleasure. The world is also characterized by the lust of the eyes, the desire for more and more things. materialism, never being satisfied with what we have, never being content, always wanting more, more money, more things, more possessions, bigger things, better things. There's no end of things. Those who are engaging in the lust of the eyes should understand that the pursuit of things rarely brings happiness or contentment. There's always more to possess. Even if they get everything they want, most are still unsatisfied. They ask, "I have everything. Is that all there is? I'm still unhappy." They need to consider this alternative given by Rabbi Paul. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Godliness, knowing God and being like God and sharing godly values, God's values, along with cultivating contentment, if our basic needs are being met, produces the most benefits and is the best way to live. Godliness with contentment is great gain, hugely beneficial. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. The world is characterized by the pride of life, the desire for fame, honor, recognition, position, authority over others. We don't want to seek the honor given by fallen people, but the honor given by the Holy God. We don't want position and authority to be praised by others, but position and authority, yes, if given by God to serve people and to serve God. Two things are competing for our love, God and a corrupt world, and we can only love one. If we love God, we will turn away from a corrupt world. If we love a corrupt world, we have turned away from God. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And so we must ask ourselves, which do we love? God? Or this corrupt world system with its corrupt values? We can know which one we truly love by knowing which one occupies the majority of our thoughts and interests and time and effort and money. Which do you love? God or the world? And John wanted us to know that there are two very different outcomes for those who love God and for those who love the world. He wrote, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Let's see. I have two choices. Love God and show that I love him by doing what he wants and live forever. Choice number one. Choice number two, love this corrupt temporary world and its corrupt desires and be destroyed along with the world. Which one will I choose? I made my choice a long time ago. I chose to reject the world and its desires. I chose to love God and love what he loves, love his desires and do what he wants and live forever. How about you? Have you made your choice? Is the way you live and what you value consistent with your choice? Let's pray. Father, John wrote this letter to help us make sure we have fellowship, a real sharing of values and life with you and with your Son. He wrote to help us have fellowship with the true spiritual leaders like John. Father, help us have that fellowship. Father, it's easy to learn the basics of the faith. Go to our congregation and say, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm a Messianic Jew. I know God. I love God. I'm headed to heaven. Talk is cheap, Father. We know that. To have fellowship with you, we know that obedience is required. Help us to be obedient, truly obedient, with an obedience that comes from our hearts. Father, John told us that we can know we have real fellowship with you if we live like Yeshua lived. So please work in us so that we are truly living like Yeshua lived. Father, John told us that to have fellowship with you, love for people, especially our brothers and sisters, is required. Please work in us so that we do love our brothers and sisters, in spite of that being difficult at times. Father, John told us that true believers know you in a personal, intimate way. Their sins are forgiven. They have overcome the evil one. Your word is alive in them. They love you, not the world. Help each one of us be those true believers. Amen.